Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we have gathered ourselves together tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He has loved us so much that He came and died on a cross for us. And so we find it needful and necessary to come to be reminded of His great love and to look into Thy Word this evening that it might inspire us and encourage us to love Him back, to love Him the way He loved us. And so, Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we could gather tonight. We're thankful that all that have come to hear Thy precious Word, and may we apply it to our lives as we listen. And we pray that You'll bless us, that You'll use the lips of clay to bring Your message, and we promise to give all praise and honor and glory unto Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. With God's help, I would like to look into the 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, but by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understood not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, and having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked of his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with Man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of their flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. And while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer. In reading this chapter here, we see where the Apostle Peter was writing concerning false prophets, and to whom he was writing was, as it's mentioned in the first epistle of Peter, it says, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So this gives us a picture of who he was writing this chapter to. And of course, we know that it applies to us as well. It's not just to those places that was mentioned in the first chapter in 1 Peter. So we see here that he's calling their attention to the fact that they're were false prophets, as it says, also among the people. And that was true as the Israelites grew, and as they got larger, there become false prophets. There become those that were, they just went their own way. They wanted to do their own thing. And as a result, they were teaching and prophesying and saying things that were not God's will, were not according to the true prophets. And so he's warning them here that there were those, and he said that as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring into damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. So he was warning us here that that this is very, very real. It can happen. Now, we here in our congregation and in our churches, perhaps we don't see and don't know that there are false prophets. At least for myself, I couldn't tell you that, this certain church has a false prophet there or something to that sort. We have faith to believe that our brothers that are come to the pulpit are true, sound brothers. They've been ordained by the congregation, the elders, to bring forth the gospel message, and that as a result of this, there's probably a lot less chance of any false prophecy being taught or preached in our churches. However, I've lived long enough to see where there were some that were brothers of our church that were teaching false doctrine. And when I say that because what classifies a false doctor? Usually, it's something that perhaps that our elders and our ministers recognize and see that it's not according to scriptures, and so it becomes a false doctrine. But you see, what happens is because of some that sin steps in, and this is what we're reading about here, that what many of them had done, they had followed in these different ways that seem good, that seem upright. And usually it's a case in a situation where men want to do their own thing, if you will. And so they see things in the scriptures that they maybe don't quite agree with, or maybe it ain't even in the scriptures. They just kind of want to do what they want to do, and they can't really find anything wrong with it, so to speak. And yet they'll begin to promote it, talk about it, encourage others, and as a result, they become false prophets. They become false teachers. And I've lived long enough to see that even in some of our brethren. However, those same brothers that I know and knew very well are no longer with us for whatever reason. They couldn't agree. They couldn't accept our doctrine. They couldn't accept the standards that we stand for. They couldn't accept all of the things that we believe in. We got the we believe statement, and it gives all the things that we all believe in. We're in agreement. It's got scriptural references for every one of them, and so we believe in these things, but some of these didn't agree with all those statements, and as a result, went their own ways because they couldn't bring anybody to believe and to accept them in what they believed. And as a result, dismissed themselves from the congregations. And so we find that here, that this is what's happening here. It says that it talks about these here that who privately shall bring into damnable heresies. And heresies is a false doctrine. Heresies is they don't agree with your doctrine, and that's what becomes you become a heretic when you won't accept the doctrine. In fact, one brother I remember that this happened to, and he come to me, and I said to him, you know, why are you doing it? Why don't you agree with him? He said, Bob, I'm a heretic. And it dawned on me. It was like, what? Oh my goodness. And that was the first time I ever heard someone openly admit that he was a heretic. And a heretic is nothing more that disagrees with the doctrine that we have. And that's what he did, and so he couldn't accept it. And that's what he's talking about there, bringing damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring themselves swift to destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So you see, they have a way of enticing. They have a way of speaking. They have a way of convincing. And if you're not grounded in the Word, and if you're not firm in what God's truth is, you'll go along with them. I know. I've seen it happen. And if you don't know the Scriptures well enough, and you ain't too sure, maybe he's right. And pretty soon you get to thinking, and you don't know what to believe for sure, and so you start to check it out. If you don't check it out, you have a tendency to follow right in right after him. You will. It'll happen to you. Especially if you're weak in the faith and you're not familiar with the Scriptures. If you don't know what you really believe. That's why I find it so important for us to know and understand what are the 18 points that we believe. How many of you here have actually read them and understand them and know what they say? And have looked up the Scriptures to see what they're the truth? Probably not many of us. I know for the longest time myself, I didn't. But I just took it and accepted it as part of my faith. And so, this is what I believe. This is the way I was taught. This is the church I was raised up in. And so I grew up this way. This is the way I believe it. I have no reason to doubt or no reason to go any other way. Until certain brothers come along and started to entice, started to talk different ways, made it sound like it was so real. And then I began to doubt and wonder. And it can happen, I'm telling you. I've been there. I know what it's about. And this is what we find here, that these were them kind of people. It can happen. There's false teachers. They are everywhere. We're rubbing elbows. We're working with them. We're going to school with them. We shop with them. I mean, there's any number of ways how we become in contact with some of these ungodly people, if you will. And so he goes on to talk about all these, that, as he says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of... And so he goes on to name all these things that took place, all these things that happened, what God had done to them. They were ungodly people. They went their way. They took and followed these false teachers, these false preachers, these false people. And so he talks about this, but he talks about the few that remained. And that's why he mentions these ones by name. Noah and the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, the different ones that were spared, were taken out, taken away from this evil ways, these false doctrines, and were preserved. And God has a way of doing that when he does. And for he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh to the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So again, labeling who these people are, who these false doctrines are, and how they have erred along the way. And so, but God, as he says, knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So if we walk close, James writes to us that if resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. If we continue to live our lives in such a manner, we don't need to worry about false doctrines. We don't need to worry about what someone's going to come and deceive us, because we have learned to avoid sin. We have learned to resist the devil with his temptations and his ways. And we have drawn nigh unto God. That's why that's written there for us, to us to learn and understand and to know and how to live. And so that's why he can say that God knows how to deliver the ungodly or the godly. But he goes on to say, whereas angels which are greater in power and might, bringing not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. He makes it very clear. What God's word makes it very clear what's going to happen to these type of people, these kind of people. We've got to be very careful not to get mixed up into false doctrine, false religions, false ways. He goes on to mention about it says, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices and cursed children. So you see, it's very clear, you identify these, who these kind of people are, and how we can avoid when we see it, when we know that this is. And this here part where it says that cannot cease from sin, you know, that's usually the thing that causes false doctrine. Because these people that want to teach and preach this, if you really examine it, someplace down the line, there's sin in their lives, undoubtedly. And so, as they go, you know, and you know, if they have one sin, pretty soon they have another sin, and pretty soon they have another sin, and sin pretty soon becomes a way of life. God will forgive me. Grace of God will help me. I mean, they got all kinds of reasons why it doesn't matter if they sin. That's false doctrine. That's not true. And we don't dare believe it for a minute. But this is what happens. One sin at a time, and the next thing you know, they're off on the wrong track. They're off on the way. Which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following a way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. This way of Balaam, what he talks about here, if you look it up in the book of Numbers, it talks about Balaam, who was a prophet in them days, and he was supposed to lead the people. He was supposed to do what God told him to do, but he went on his own way. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and if you read it, you can see, understand here, and it come down to the point where he was going to this city, and he was going to go there on his own, and he was told not to go. And when he got in between a place, there was an angel standing there before him with his sword and wouldn't let him go past. And the donkey he was on turned off to the side. And so when he turned off to the side, he beat up the donkey, made him get back on the path to go. Three times he'd done this. And finally the donkey spoke to him. And that's what it talks about here. But was rebuked of his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with the man's voice, bade the madness of the prophet. So that's a very interesting story if you read about that, how this Balaam would not listen, and how the way God dealt with him. And finally, he got the message. Finally, he began to get the clear picture of what God. And it took several different ones to talk to him, and place men that came and got in the way. And it's quite a story. But this is what he's talking about here. And the Lord used a donkey with a man's voice to stop him. This is to the extent that God will go, if need be, to try to get us to avoid doing the wrong things, doing their own will and not God's will, to that extent where a donkey would have to tell him. So he used this for an explanation, and then he goes on to say that these, it says, are wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of their flesh, through much wantonness. These are they, those that were clean, escape from them who lived in error. And while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, in the same is he brought into bondage. So you see, he cannot stress this enough, how we need to be warned against false teachers, false doctrines, how we need to be in the Word, understand what it means, and be led by the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to talk about, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So you see how far that they took this? They didn't take the warning. They didn't accept the false teachings. And it says they were those that escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. But you see what happens? They entangled themselves back into the things of this world. And this is the thing that you and I as believers in this day and age, we need to be very careful how we entangle ourselves into the things of this world and can be swayed in to false teachers that we have this day and age. They got enticing words. They make things sound really sweet. The love of God, it can go on and on. And you and I have to be well aware of these sorts of people that we come in contact with. And as he says here, it would have been better had they never known the way than to get tangled up in the ways before, because the end of that is worse than when they began. So, as he says, for it had been better for them to not know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And then he talks about this proverb, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. So you see, he's talking about going back, getting entangled, going right back to what he once stayed away from, once learned to hate, once died to, if you will. We died to sin. If we get tangled back up into it, we can expect the wrong things to happen to us. And God have mercy on our souls if should that happen to any of us. You see, this is a portion of Scripture that I think that is applicable to this day and age as far as false teachers are concerned. I don't mean to judge, and I don't mean to point out anybody, but I know for a fact there are churches, there are ministers that do not preach the full doctrine, to the point even some of them don't even find it necessary to be baptized. Now, baptism is a doctrinal thing that Christ said you must do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no escape. You must be born again. Born of the water and of the Spirit. That's what he told Nicodemus. And so that applies to everyone that has heard the word of God. And if there are those that preach otherwise, they are false doctrines. And as a result of that, we rub elbows with people, say that they're Christians, and yet you wonder, really, what do they believe? Not to be judgmental. We have to be, you know, we have to be discerning in this and not judgmental about it. Because the Scripture makes it very clear we have no right to judge whatsoever. And we don't do that. But we need to discern whether that's false or whether it's true. And how are you going to discern that? If you don't know the Scriptures yourself, if you don't understand them yourself, you're going to have a hard time making that discernment. And this is why I find it needful and necessary. And I say this time and time again. We need to be in the Word, we need to understand it, and we need to know what we believe so that we don't fall into the category of false doctrines. Amen.
This is a difficult chapter to think about. To think about that, how Peter says that in time past, in the Old Testament, there were false prophets then. And he says, and today there's going to be false teachers, and that's going to be a way of life. The Apostle Paul, as he was leaving Ephesus, he told the elders there at Ephesus, he says, after I leave, I know that grievous wolves shall enter in among you. These are some difficult thoughts, to think that these false teachers will be there. It's not something we want to think about or have to ponder on, but it's truth, and we need to recognize that that will happen. And we need to be prepared for it. And how do we respond to false teachers or false doctrines that are brought about? First, we have to remember that here in this chapter, it says in verse number 11 that whereas angels, which are greater in power and might than these false teachers, these angels, They bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. The angels are not bringing a railing accusation against these false teachers. The angels are not doing that. In Jude, we read, "And yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." And so it is that the Apostle Peter is saying here, there will be false teachers. But our part is not to bring railing accusation against them. We read it in this chapter. God will bring them to judgment. God will bring them a damnation to them. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into the change of darkness to be reserved into judgment, he will also take care of these false teachers that will be among us. And so we leave the judgment to God, but we are discerning. And so we're familiar with all the false doctrine that's out there. The false doctrine of eternal security. The false doctrine of Calvinism, where we're predestined, where we were born going to heaven or we were born going to hell. We know that to be false. There's a false doctrine of purgatory, where we can pray for a soul while they're lingering after they've died, or they're lingering before they've gone to heaven or hell. There's a lot of false doctrines out there, but we know the truth, and the truth is here. We don't need to look to the false doctrines. We need to look to the truth. Recently we read where we have to have a love for the truth. And if we have this love for the truth, the Word of God, we will be able to discern between what's right and what's wrong, what's false. And so in the book of Romans, we are instructed what we do about those that are false teachers. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. If there is any teaching that is contrary to the doctrine, to the teaching of Jesus Christ," it says, "avoid them. And for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." There will be false teachers, but it'll be evident because their fruits will show, as we sang there in that song 127. Their fruits will show. It'll be about themselves. It'll be always about themselves. It won't be about Jesus Christ. It'll be about themselves. And that fruit will show. Ours is to look into the Word of God. Is that truth, or is that of the or is that of themselves? May God give us discerning spirits in these times. Amen.